Today the church honors two very different saints, and they're both great. You probably know that I'm especially devoted to Saint Jerome Emiliani because he's been very devoted to me over the years, so I have a personal connection with him. But it's the other saints, the newer one, Saint Josephine Bakhita, that is the rising star in the church these days. So that's why we chose the prayer for Saint Josephine. I'll get to her in just a moment. Let's take a look at these readings. The first reading brings us back to Solomon in the temple. We spent a long time yesterday reflecting on the mystery of presence, of God's presence, how he reveals himself in such a way as to make himself known to us, but yet we still can't really see him with the whole image of the cloud filling the temple. Well, here we have Solomon making a similar reflection. He says, well, how can it be that God is here? How can this be that if the heavens, if the highest heavens cannot contain the Lord, well, how can this temple contain him? So he's humbly acknowledging that even though it's a great temple and it's great that God is present in the temple, it's not as if Solomon has somehow captured God and put him in a cage. He's saying, this is up to you, Lord, and please listen to our prayers and remain present in this place which we have built for your honor. The idea is that we belong to God, not that he is somehow our possession. He dwells among us as Lord, not as slave. The gospel shows that it's very easy, even in a religious context, to turn this around and treat the Lord as our slave and treat what he has given us as just laws, as ways to build ourselves up rather than to honor him. And so it's one of these, this gospel is one of these conflicts between the Jesus and the Pharisees. The Pharisees are very self-righteously pointing out what the disciples of Jesus are doing wrong. And Jesus turns it around and says, well, that's a great example of hypocrisy, pointing the finger at these disciples of mine. Great example of hypocrisy. You are honoring the Lord with your lips, but with your hearts, you are far from the Lord. Hypocrisy. You look good, but you're not really good. And ironically, the very claim to be righteous in the eyes of God becomes the basis for their being unrighteous in their treatment of others, including their own parents. Jesus uses the example of how they use their own interpretation of the law and their own tradition to nullify the commandment, honor your father and your mother. So it's hypocrisy of the worst kind, not only to make them look good, but to actually make them evil. So this is the background in which I'd like to turn now to St. Josephine and some of the issues that we're dealing with nowadays. The background being, we belong to God and we're here to honor God, and it's not right to use God or anything else to serve ourselves or to make ourselves into gods. Now, we all know that we've been 2 years in the pandemic, and the debate, one of the central debates during the pandemic is not about care for the sick, but about rights and about responsibilities. The ongoing and far from concluded conflict between community responsibility and individual freedom. The responsibility of the government to care for the common good, and the possibility that the government can also squash that what is good for individuals and for free society, and then the responsibility on the part of each individual to be responsible for himself, but also care for others. And so we have these constant conflicts between what is required during these times. And in every country, there are movements that are pushing for stronger and stronger restrictions, and movements that are pushing more and more for respect for human freedom. One of the big examples on the world scene now is in Canada. You probably know there's thousands of truckers in the capital city of Ottawa in Canada protesting the government's very heavy-handed mandates, vaccines and everything. Okay, so you know those debates. Now, I mentioned this because one of the sad things about this time is that another violation of human rights has gone on even worse, and that is the problem of human trafficking, which was a problem before the pandemic and has gotten worse. Human trafficking meaning the capture and the use of people. It's a much worse violation of human freedom than any mandate for vaccines or masks or quarantines. It's a violation of the very core of human freedom. It's possession of people. So it goes on for the most part unseen because it's done behind closed doors, human trafficking, but it affects millions of people. The last statistic I heard was somewhere in the range of 30 million people are in the hands of traffickers. And as I say, this has gotten worse during these 2 years because so much is happening in isolation anyway, and no one knows what's going on in closed down homes and businesses. Well, why do I bring this up? Because of St. Josephine. St. Josephine is the patron saint of victims of human trafficking. And today is, has been called by Pope Francis, the International Day of Prayer and Awareness Against Human Trafficking. So he deliberately chose the feast day of St. Josephine Bakhita as the day to have a day of prayer and awareness against human trafficking, because most people are not aware of it and are not praying to overcome it. And that's wrong. So St. Josephine, and this is a very striking thing. She's a modern saint. She just died in 1947, and she was just canonized in the year 2000. So a woman of our own times. Most saints, including Jerome Emiliani, the other saint of today, most saints are known for their goodness done to others or their martyrdom. But this is a saint who's known for being the victim of evil that was done to her and her rising above it. So it is an unusual case. I mean, of course, every saint has been a victim in a sense, a persecuted, and that's what martyrs are. But she wasn't martyred, but she was enslaved. She was kidnapped as a child. She was sold 5 times in slave markets. She was beaten. She was scarred. And she was tortured, basically abused, and her dignity trampled. So that's why she's a fitting patron for this fight against human trafficking, because she herself knows it from inside. She was trafficked. So we don't look to her as a hero of saving others, although she certainly does do that now, but we look at her as one who exposes to our eyes what the victims experience. So this is a modern trend to have our eyes opened to the experience of victims, because if we don't know what others are experiencing, then we're not moved to compassion. We don't really care. And that's what happens with the Pharisees. Now, they're not really concerned about what other people experience. They're only focused on themselves and their appearance of looking good. And that's a trap for every religious person. You can say, oh, we're very holy. We say a lot of prayers. We are avoiding sin. But we might not have the eyes of our hearts opened to the suffering of others. And that's what this day is all about. Now, I want to stress St. Josephine because Pope Francis is making her at the center of a very important movement, and he this week, I think it was Sunday, or must have been Sunday, or recently anyway, they unveiled a statue of St. Josephine in the Vatican. And it's a statue of St. Josephine setting free victims of human trafficking. And I just read that the Pope is going to issue some kind of a statement today about this issue. Now, he issues statements all the time, and probably nobody will notice, but we should at least know that we're praying for these victims. Now, one of the reasons why we don't notice this problem is because a lot of times the trafficking is done in what looks like a legitimate form. I mean, people sometimes unwittingly traffic themselves. And this is what happens in the Philippines a lot. People someone recruits them for work, and they say, well, I want better work. I'll go to the Middle East, or I'll go to another country, or I'll go to the city and work. And when they get there, of course, their ID is confiscated, their phone is confiscated, they don't have any money, and they might not be in chains, but they can't get out. They're stuck. So, and women and children are by far the more common victims of this kind of abuse. And a big part of the sex slavery comes from this capture of unaware victims, people who look like they're going for something good and find themselves trapped. Another sector of the human trafficking problem is the refugees, immigrants and refugees, people who are looking for a better life. What often happens is they pay someone to get them over the border, or to get them over the sea, or to get them onto the boat. They pay someone. So they, in this essence, pay their own trafficker to take advantage of them. And they, sometimes, as you know, people coming from the war-torn areas of the Middle East or from impoverished countries, they give the last penny or last peso that they have to someone who says they will get them into a better land. And what happens is they get put on a boat or put in a truck or put in a warehouse, and that's the last anyone ever sees of them. So this happens a lot, as they say, millions and millions of people. Now, what can we do about it? Well, of course, it's one of these situations where God is the one who fills the whole universe, and God dwells in his temple. And when we come to Mass like this, we're not thinking about people who are trapped, even though they might be within walking distance of this building. There could be people who are in the enslavement that I'm describing. In fact, I'm sure it's true. Maybe even household helpers are sometimes victims of human trafficking. So, in businesses around here, or in what do they call those? The people who carry the drugs for the couriers. Those people are being human trafficked. Anyway, so here we are. We're not thinking about that. But the purpose of this day, International Day of Prayer and Awareness. So that's why I'm talking about it, so that we're aware of it, and also so that we will pray. Prayer is our weapon, maybe the only weapon we have right now, but we also have our eyes opened, and who knows, among our families and friends and connections, who knows where God might want to use us to take a practical step to care for people whose rights are being absolutely trampled. The warning of Jesus in the Gospel is against hypocrisy. So we should not be content with looking religious. That's the danger. It's okay if we look religious, as long as that's the byproduct of our really doing the will of God. Coming to daily Mass is a very good thing, and I'm not saying anything against it. Even I don't care who looks in on us and thinks we look holy. That's not the purpose of the point. But if that's the only thing we're doing is looking holy for people, we're really nullifying the commandment of God. The commandment of God is, yes, love God and love your neighbor. So some of our neighbors who are victims, they could be the next St. Josephine. Now, let me add one last point, speaking of St. Josephine. It's a little bit ironic that she is the patron of the victims because she herself expresses gratitude to God for her experience of being trafficked. It almost ruins the whole message that if someone who has been kidnapped and sold and beaten and tortured found that as the avenue to her conversion and to her holiness, well, my goodness, that could happen to all these millions of people who are trafficked. Maybe they're being made holy by these trials. The answer is not that we should just let it go so that they become holy. Where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. It doesn't mean that we can justify sin or give it any space, but God is not defeated by sin, and that's the message of Josephine. She's grateful, not to the, I mean, she says she's grateful to them. It's in the little description in our little way. It says, if I were to meet the slave traders who kidnapped me and even those who tortured me, I would kneel and kiss their hands. Well, that's like a shortcut. She's grateful to God that he used even these evil men for her benefit. But she's not grateful to them. We should not be grateful for evil, but we should recognize God is not defeated by evil. We don't do sin so that more grace will come. We give thanks to God that in the abundance of sin, God's grace is much greater. So we pray for victims, that they can all discover the greatness of God and even the mysterious ways in which God works through these horrible abuses. And we pray for the end of this scourge of modern-day slavery, human trafficking.